there's a marriage between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It's very important to have a relationship with the Lord, both through His written Word, but also, beloved, in the marriage to Him through His Spirit. I want to begin today by laying a scriptural foundation for this by going to the book of Joel, first of all, chapter number 2, verse number 28 and 29. In the book of Joel, chapter 2, the Lord is telling us about what He's going to be doing on earth during the last days. These last days, beloved, began in terms of what Joel is talking about here with the coming of Messiah Jesus. It will come about that after this, that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind. Now, if you hear any thundering going on, that's a good sign because we're going to take it as a sign from God because, you know, sometimes in the Gospels, when the Lord spoke, some people heard His voice, others said it thundered. So we've got some thundering going on. You can hear it in the building right now. So if you hear that thunder, let's just take it as a kiss from God, okay? Thank you, Abba. And it will come about after this, that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and daughters will prophesy. And your old men will dream dreams, your young men will see visions. I will pour forth my Spirit in those days. Now, that scripture that I just read is going to be repeated identically, beloved, by Peter in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2, when the Spirit of the Lord comes. So remember, in Joel chapter 2, the Lord says, it's going to happen at this time. And the time He speaks of is the coming of the Spirit. And He says, when the Spirit comes, three things are going to happen. I'm going to speak to my people in prophecy, dreams, and visions. Now, I know, depending on where you're coming from and what your church culture has been, this may or may not be familiar to you. So what I want to do now is I want to go to the book of Acts and show you, beloved ones of the Lord, how scripturally rooted what I'm sharing with you is. So I'm going once again to Acts chapter 2. And I'm going to be picking up in verse number 17. The Holy Spirit had fallen, and here's what Peter says is happening. Acts chapter 2, verse number 17. And it shall be in the last days, God says, and now He quotes Joel chapter number 2, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, that's number 2, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my bond slaves, both men and women, I will in those days pour forth of my Spirit. And so what we're finding here, if we think about this logically and take it apart, is now that the Holy Spirit has fallen, according to Joel's prophecy, and according to Peter's proclamation that it had been fulfilled because the Holy Spirit has fallen, now those whom the Holy Spirit has fallen on should be walking in their experience, listen now, in experiencing from the Lord by the Spirit, prophecy, dreams, and visions. That's what both Joel and Peter said. In the last days, God says, I'm going to pour forth my Spirit, and the result of that's going to be prophecy, dreams, and visions. And so for some of you, this is really exciting. Some of you maybe have never been in a realm where you've experienced, to your knowledge, prophecy, dreams, or visions, and so you're really curious and kind of excited about exploring more. Some of you already are walking in this, and I hope maybe that God can even further train us by His Spirit through this series. And some of you might even be kind of taking a step back and, you know, maybe a wall of resistance is coming up because it's just unfamiliar to you. And sometimes when we're unfamiliar with something, we put up walls, but I just want you to open your heart, beloved, to the Word of God, to the Spirit of the Lord, because I'm going to be bringing forth today truth concerning prophecy, dreams, and visions for you from the Word of God. Now, it's very important to understand that to be walking with God in a vibrant way, there needs to be a mix in our life. There needs to be a marriage, listen now, between the ministry of the written Word of God into our lives. Number one, everything needs to be based on the written Word of God. But in addition, beloved, to a ministry coming forth from us from the written Word of God as we're reading and God is putting His power on His written Word as we're reading it and hearing it, we also, beloved, have to be walking with God, listen now, being led supernaturally by His Spirit. And so there's a marriage between the Word of God and the Spirit of God. The two bear witness with each other, and the Lord teaches us to follow Him, and He disciples us both through His written Word and through His Spirit. If you think about this, the first disciples of Jesus, the first early believers of Jesus in the church, they didn't have the written Word of God as we have it today. I mean, they certainly didn't have the writings of Paul. People didn't have New Testaments that they carried around like we do today, containing all the books that we have today in our New Testament. It's called the canon of Scripture. There was, you know, even the synagogues, beloved, didn't have all the writings of all the writings that we have in our Bible today. There were fragments of some of the portions of the Torah, etc. But those early believers didn't have access to the full written Word of God like we do today. That didn't come till years afterwards. So how were these early disciples then led in their walk with Jesus? Jesus said, I'm going to send you my Spirit. And Jesus said, He will remind you of everything that I said to you and bring it forth to your remembrance. And Jesus said, and I'm going to send you my Spirit, listen now, and He's going to take of me and disclose it unto you. And so the role of the Holy Spirit right now is He reveals to us Jesus, and He teaches us, beloved, and trains us how to follow Jesus. Paul said, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. In the book of Revelation chapter 2, we read, He that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. You see, the written Word of God is the foundation of our faith. It defines all doctrine. We never have any deviation from the written Word of God. If we can't back it up with the written Word of God, beloved, we discredit it and throw it out, because the written Word of God is the only rule for faith and practice that we have. But you see, the written Word of God gives us the general parameters of faith, and it lays the doctrinal foundation of our walk with God and instructs us how to walk with God. But the written Word of God oftentimes doesn't carry the specific details for each one of our life, because every one of our life's journey is different. But because of the Spirit, beloved, and because of the role of the Spirit, and because the Spirit is speaking to us individually according to the heart of Jesus for our lives, the Spirit of God can speak to us about the details of our lives, about the particular areas that the Lord is putting His finger on, the particular areas that He's training us in. He can give us information, beloved. The Spirit of the Lord can reveal information to us through prophecy, dreams, and visions concerning, for example, who to marry, what job to take, where to live geographically, and many, 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 many other practical issues. See, the Word of the Lord doesn't tell you specifically the exact person to marry, or the exact job to take, or the exact city to live in, or sometimes how to handle a very specific situation in relationship with someone, your boss, a friend, a family member. But the Spirit of the Lord, He literally, beloved, can disclose those things to us. He can disclose to us how to follow Him through specific and particular situations that we encounter in life. So it's very important to have a relationship with the Lord, both through His written Word, but also, beloved, in the marriage to Him through His Spirit. I want to read for you now from Jesus's words, from Yeshua's words in the Gospel of John, chapter number 16. Hear the Word of the Lord. I want you to really take this in. I know that for some of you this is elementary, but there's others here that this is new, and God wants to bring us into something more today. So hear the Word of the Lord. Yeshua's talking about the Spirit. And He says in verse number 13 of John 16, but when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, speaking of the Holy Spirit, He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not. So who's going to guide us? The Spirit of God Himself is going to guide us. He's real. He's here. He's now. Beloved, that's why Jesus said, I'm not going to leave you as an orphan. I'm going to send you my Spirit. So Jesus says, when I send you the Spirit, He's going to lead you. It's a very real thing. The Spirit of God is present. He's speaking to us, beloved. We need to be sensitive to Him. We need to be sensitive to how He's speaking to our heart. And we need to be sensitive to the ways that He speaks to us, and those ways include prophecy, dreams, and visions. So listen again. He will guide you into all the truth, for He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. Now listen to this. He shall glorify Me, in verse 14, for He shall take of Mine and shall disclose it to you. So the Spirit of the Lord is upon the earth communicating Jesus to us. And Jesus is involved, beloved, in every detail, hallelujah, of our lives. And so with that introduction, I pray, Father God, that you will open the hearts of your people today that are listening and watching and teach us how to be more sensitive to the Spirit's voice to us in all the dimensions, Father, that He's speaking to us in Yeshua's name. And all God's people spoke Hebrew and said, Amen. Now, the first thing that I want to do is we're going back to Joel chapter 2, beloved, and also Acts chapter 2. It's the same verse. In the last days, the Lord says, I'm going to pour forth my spirit on all flesh, and the result is going to be prophecy, dreams, and visions. I want to first of all talk about prophecy. We're going to mostly focusing in on dreams, how the Lord speaks to us in the night in dreams. But before I get to dreams, I want to briefly cover prophecy and visions. Now, the Hebrew word for prophecy, when Joel said, in the last days, your sons and daughters will prophesy. Again, Peter repeated that same verse. The Hebrew word for prophecy is the Hebrew word naba. I'm going to say it again. It's the Hebrew word naba. And it means to bubble up, that there's a bubbling up of the life of God from within us, that there's a fresh bubbling up from the Spirit of the Lord that resides in the believer. And this bubbling up results, beloved, in a revelation that is communicative and that we can speak to somebody else. Now, it's very important to understand that when we're addressing the issue of prophecy, dreams, and visions, that most or many of the experiences that we will have with the Holy Spirit involving prophecy, dreams, and visions will not be so overwhelming that we can't miss them, but rather they'll be subtle promptings. Remember the prophet of old, and the Lord was coming to him, but he didn't know what was going on. And finally, the senior prophet told him to go lay back down. The Spirit of God is speaking to you. In the book of Job, for example, the prophet spoke, and he said, the Lord speaks once, yea, twice, when man is fast asleep on his bed, but man's not paying attention to it. So he doesn't even recognize that the Lord had just spoken to him in a dream. And so it's also true in the realm of prophecy and visions. Most of the types of experiences that we'll have with the Holy Spirit that are prophetic in nature, that are even pictures that come to us in the realm of visions, or that come to us in the form of dreams at night, they are not overwhelming. In other words, we're not just going to be laid out, but rather they're going to be so subtle that if we're not listening, if we're not paying attention, we'll miss them altogether. That's how subtle they are. That's why the Scripture says in John chapter, in the Revelation, John said in Revelation chapter 2, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. In other words, God can be doing these types of, he can be speaking to us, but if we're not listening, we'll miss them. Let me give you an example of that. Years ago, some of you have heard me share this story. I was getting ready to sit down with a group of people to pray. We were forming a circle, a prayer circle, and across from me, a man was just sitting down. And right when he was sitting down, I saw in the most subtle way, I could have missed it, in the most subtle way, I saw a hammer. It was just a picture in my brain. It wasn't a great overwhelming experience that laid me out. It was a subtle picture, an image that came into my mind of a hammer coming down on his head. If I wasn't sensitive, if I didn't catch it, in other words, if I wasn't aware of it and catch it because I pay attention, I would have missed it. But as he sat down, I said to him, you know, I just saw a hammer coming down on your head. He said, I just found out I was getting sued today. So obviously, the Lord was giving me a prophetic word for him to show him that I'm with you in this. I understand where you're at. I know what's going on in your life. The number of hairs on your head are numbered. I'm with you. I'm going to see you through this thing. But I'm trying to make the point that these are very subtle experiences. So it's not a question of you, if you're a believer, and it's not a question if you're a born-again believer that you've never experienced these things, but rather it's a question of you not paying attention. Because I believe that the Lord is speaking to all of us. You see, prophecy, dreams, and visions are not the gift that God gives to a select few of His people, but rather prophecy, dreams, and visions, beloved, are channels of communication. And God is communicating to all His people. That's why in Acts chapter 2, beloved, when the Spirit of God came, how did He manifest Himself? He manifested Himself above the disciples' heads as what? As a tongue of fire. Think about that. When the Holy Spirit was first manifest, how was He manifest? He was manifest, get it now, as a tongue of fire. Why a tongue? Because a tongue is a speaking oracle. And so the Holy Spirit's primary purpose to us is to speak to us. Jesus said He's going to take of me and disclose it or speak it unto you. So if you're a born-again believer, and this seems foreign to you, you feel like I've never had a dream or I've never had a prophetic experience or I've never had a vision. The reality is you have, but you haven't noticed. You haven't been paying attention because, as I indicated, the Lord is oftentimes not in the earthquake. He's not in the great fire, but rather, beloved, He's in the still, small voice. So we need to be paying attention. So the first area then is prophecy, prophecy, dreams, and visions. Let me read for you again, so just so you can get this, just to get back on track with where we're at, and then we're going to take them apart individually. Acts chapter 2, so you know this is for you. This happened on the day of Pentecost, so the Spirit of God has come. Acts chapter 2, verse 17. Peter says, he's quoting from the prophet Joel in verse number 16. He says in verse 16, but this is what was spoken of through the prophet Joel. And then in verse 17, he quotes Joel. And it shall be in the last days, God says, that I will pour forth of my Spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, this doesn't mean that if you're an old man, you only dream dreams but don't see visions. He's just speaking about all classifications of people, that everyone that knows me is going to be walking in an experience of me communicating to them, and they're going to be experiencing from my Spirit prophecy, dreams, and visions. So we're going to start then with prophecy. Prophecy, the Hebrew word naba, it means a bubbling up from the inside. It's the Spirit of the Lord within bubbling up to communicate something to us and then giving us, beloved, the ability to speak it. Now, oftentimes, God's people are prophesying even when they don't know that they're prophesying. So, for example, we read in Scripture that during the days of Jesus, the high priest prophesied, and he said to the community there, he said, don't you know, speaking of Jesus' death, that it's expedient that one man die for the nation? But he was not saying this according to the Word of God because he knew what he was saying. He didn't understand that Jesus was dying for the sins of the world or the sins of the nation of Israel. But rather, the Bible says he spoke it because he was the high priest and the Holy Spirit was working through him, but he didn't even know it. I mean, think about Balaam's donkey. When Balaam's donkey spoke and rebuked Balaam, Balaam's donkey didn't know he was prophesying. And so some of you have prophesied and not even known it. Let me give you an example. If you have children or grandchildren, or maybe even a friend of yours that was looking for counsel. So you have a child, a grandchild, or a friend that was wanting counsel or that you felt you had counsel for. Do you know that sometimes as a believer and as a child of God, when you gave them counsel, you were actually prophesying because the counsel that you were giving them was actually coming to you or being communicated to you by the Holy Spirit, and you were just speaking it forth. You were prophesying without even realizing it, because what you're doing when you're prophesying, beloved, is you're just speaking forth the Word of God by the Spirit. You're speaking forth, beloved, the heart of the Lord by the Spirit. And so it doesn't always have to be so mysterious, but it's real, beloved. It's scientific in the sense that it's real and it's tangible. God will give you insight and discernment into people's lives around you, and you will speak to them based upon that insight and that discernment that the Holy Spirit is giving you. And when the Holy Spirit gives you that insight and discernment and you speak it into people's lives, you're actually prophesying. Listen now, prophesying, get it now, is to speak by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Let's move on to the next one. The next one, beloved, our visions. The Hebrew word for visions is kizyon. Once again, the Hebrew word for vision is kizyon or kezyon. Now, visions also can be very subtle. And what I mean by this is that most visions are not visions that you get so overwhelmed that you get laid out on the floor because they're so overwhelming. I mean, for example, in Isaiah chapter 6, remember, Isaiah has a vision and he falls on the ground like a dead man and he says, woe is me, for I'm a man of unclean lips and I live among an unclean people. John, in the book of Revelation, has a vision and he falls down to the ground. I mean, these are overwhelming types of visions. But the vast majority of visions that God's people experience are not of this nature. They're not of this category. But rather, beloved, they come to us, get this now, in the form of pictures. Remember when Jesus was ministering on earth, he often spoke in parables. He created pictures. He created stories to illustrate truth. And most visions that we get from the Lord come to us, beloved, in the simple form, listen now, of a picture that God will give us that will flash into our mind. Let me give you a recent example that my wife, we actually just had recently. There was somebody that was kind of speaking a lot of just criticism towards somebody and negativity. And it seemed almost that the criticism and the spirit of accusation that this person was speaking, it actually seemed like there was a lot of truth in it. But my wife had a vision that came to her as this person was speaking these words of accusation and these words of condemnation. And the picture that came into my wife's mind as this person was speaking these negative things to another person was of a person, forgive me, I don't want to be offensive, but of a person vomiting. In other words, it looked like what this person was saying was true. But in reality, the spirit behind the words that this person was saying was the work of the enemy. It was for destructive purposes and for evil purposes. But my wife was able to have the discernment about what was going on as she observed the situation because of a vision that God gave her. It wasn't a vision that knocked her out and laid her on the floor, but was rather a simple picture that the Lord flashed in her mind of a person vomiting. And she knew that the Lord was telling her, disregard any accusation that this person has because it's coming from a place of wretchedness. It's not me, saith the Lord. And so that really helped us to have discernment in terms of how to deal with this person and how to shepherd this person when we have revelation through a vision as to where this person's spirit was coming from. Now, on next week's broadcast, we're going to pick back up on this theme of visions, but we're also, beloved, in next week's broadcast, going to pick up on the theme of dreams. And you're going to find that one of the most predominant ways throughout the entire Bible, from the beginning to the end, from the beginning of the Old Testament through the end of the New Testament, one of the most predominant ways that God speaks to us, beloved, is through our dreams at night. In the last day, saith the Lord, I will pour forth my spirit on all flesh, and the result is going to be that my people are going to walk in an experience of prophecy, dreams, and visions. Shalom until next week. The world keeps on spinning, but God's Word never changes. I mean, think about it. One of the things that defines the generation that we're living in today is that there is no truth that everybody is agreed upon. We used to be a country that, by and large, everybody believed there was a God. We had the Ten Commandments on government properties, prayer in schools. We understood marriage as the relationship between a man and a woman in a monogamous context. Where today, none of these things people agree on anymore. Truth is defined by whoever's voice is the loudest. Truth is defined by the spin that the media or people put on things. And eventually, it's just accepted as truth, but it is not truth. But the Bible tells us that God's Word never changes, that He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And people now more than ever, they need to hear the truth. Jesus gave His church the Great Commission. At the end of the book of Matthew, Jesus said, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, making disciples of all nations." Beloved, we've been given a work to do, to preach the gospel to the entire world in the book of Mark and to make disciples of all nations in the book of Matthew. Let's be about our Father's business. I want to ask you for your financial support today. If you believe I'm making a difference, if you believe discovering the Jewish Jesus is making a difference because you're experiencing a blessing in your own life, I want to ask you to financially support us. There's a link at the bottom of your description, or you can go to our website, discoveringthejewishjesus.com. Beloved, what we do with our finances makes a difference. God is watching. Everything we do should be wrapped up in Him. I want to thank you for your love, for your financial support today. And if you feel an initiative in your heart by the Holy Spirit to make a donation or to become a partner, beloved, just be obedient.